now going to progress to some steps which are a bit more difficult.
Relax and enjoy yourself.
Ready, set, and begin.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
It is quite bad, but it is good for you.
On with the show!
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
That's right.
I'm a skinny little boy from Cleveland, Ohio, come to chase show women and drink your beer.
Now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only
crazy
Frank.
Oh, yeah, come to chase your women and drink your beer. Crazy Frank, that's me for Crazy Frank Live. That time of the evening, on Thursdays anyway, where I break the mic and just rattle on for an hour or so, give or take, 55 minutes, sometimes an hour and 55 minutes. It just depends on what I got going on in my personal life that evening and what I got to talk about. And, you know, I don't know. It's not like it's sponsored or anything. I keep meaning to go and look and see what our downloads look like. But I just don't. I don't do anything with it. It's just kind of I break the mic and I do this Thursdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, really for the handful of you, a few hundred of you that for whatever reason, like listening to it. And God bless you. I try not to overthink it. I was looking to see. Yeah, we got 236 of you listening to, I don't know, on the edge of your seat. What will he talk about tonight? I wish I could tell you that I have a plan when I do this, that it was organized enough, that I, you know, thoughtfully went over subjects. No. And then I will sometimes rattle on for my allotted hour and then completely forget about what I was talking about. And I keep telling myself, I need to write these things down. And this is something I need to work on, because I'll have these things, these ideas, these thoughts, whatever they are, they pop into my head, and I think, briefly, I should write this down. But for a few different reasons, mainly because I don't want to get distracted writing. I want to just go with the flow. I don't write them down. And then I think to myself, I don't need to write this down. This is so interesting or whatever, there's no way I'm going to forget what I'm talking about. Then I get to the end of the podcast and I upload it to the website, kbackradio.com, where you can find all of the past installments of Crazy Frank Live. And then I'm like, fuck, what was I talking about? I just talked for an hour and I have no idea what I was talking about. So I can't even put a decent synopsis in there. So someone's flipping through the, let's see how many there are. There's got to be, let me look here. KBackRadio.com, at the Oddcasts, we call them. It's pushing 60 of these. 50, this is the 60th. This is the 60th installment of this. So by the time we get done with this, there'll be over 60 hours of me rattling on mindlessly into a microphone. And I really have no idea what I'm going to... Very rarely. Sometimes something will really stick in my craw, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk about this tonight on a podcast. But if it doesn't really kind of happen that day, I should carry a little notebook around. Little notebook in my pocket. Just to jot mindless things down. Anyway. One thing that is not stuck in my craw, but something that popped up today at the tail end of the show... Bill Cosby, the comedian Bill Cosby, is going back out on the road in 2023. No shit. He's planning a comedy tour in 2023. And you know, there's the obvious jokes, you know, brought to you by Spanish Fly. But, I really don't know the details of the whole Bill Cosby thing, other than he was convicted of doing some hanky shit. And then he did 3 years in the big house. And then they let him go because they threw out his conviction on some sort of a technicality or something. Somebody's evidence shouldn't have been admitted, whatever it was. So that technically the guy has been not exonerated. But his conviction was overturned. And I don't know. It might have been that they allowed some evidence in that they shouldn't have because too much time had passed. I'm not sure why there's a statute of limitations on things. I mean, if you committed a crime that was heinous, I don't know why there should be. Well, but if you don't do anything about it after a certain amount of time, then they can't get you for it. It seems like to me, if you rape somebody, you forcibly stuck your wiener in somebody who did not want it or did not give you permission to do that, and you're, you know, banging people who do not wish to be banged, that's pretty fucked up. I don't know why there's a, oh, well, but if you don't do anything about it in so many years, I suppose that it would be difficult to prove many years later. Evidence kind of is not around. I get that. But if you've got evidence, and then maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just one person's word again, and who knows. I don't know. I didn't follow the Bill Cosby case that closely. But to wonder, who's going to book him? I mean, particularly in this day and age of, you know, the cancel culture, it seems like. Everything, if people don't like it, they want to cancel it. I am not a fan of canceling anything, particularly ridiculous stuff. And let me tell you, first of all, I'm going to write this down because we talked about Bill Cosby. See, I get to talking and I forget about this. Bill Cosby, now cancel culture. Yeah. Now what'll happen is I'll get to the end of this and I won't be able to read my own writing. But we get into this cancel culture-y thing, and I am a firm believer in not canceling anything. Like, for instance, on the Book of Faces and the Twitters and in places, you'd have somebody that came along and said, yeah, the earth is flat. And here's why the earth is flat. And people are looking at this. I will look at it. Because if you genuinely believe the earth is flat, I want to know what makes you think that. Because I'm of the opinion you should constantly challenge what you believe. Whatever it is you believe, I feel like you need to constantly challenge that. Because it's like science. Science is not an exact science. It is the evolution of understanding. So when you say, well, the current state of science, that's the way we understand things presently. But that could change. As new information comes about, as you make new discoveries, new observations, things that you thought you knew about, you know, you think about back to the 1800s, 1840s, 1850s, they didn't know anything about cleaning off surgery. They were operating on people with dirty, filthy instruments. Not because it was a battlefield and there was no way to clean anything, but because they genuinely didn't realize they needed to clean stuff. It never even occurred to them that stuff could be dirty. Just hose it off. It'll be fine. Just start more people died in, you know, who got surgery. More people died from secondary infections and shit afterwards than ever died from the operations themselves. It's crazy that they were that proficient at working around inside the human body, but nobody bothered to stop and say, maybe if we clean these tools off, people wouldn't get infections. Crazy to me. But that's neither here nor there. We live in a situation where in a world where people want to, if they don't like it, they want to cancel it. And if they don't agree with it, they want to cancel it. And my big question is why? Why do you want to cancel things you don't want, that you don't believe in or you don't like? And they say, well, it's misinformation. It's misinformation, and people are going to believe it and make bad decisions based on bad information. And it's been my observation as a spectator, basically, here on planet Earth, that fucking people, you're not going to convince anybody of anything unless they genuinely already want to believe it. If they don't want to believe it, you're never going to convince them. You could have irrefutable evidence, 1,000% ironclad evidence to disprove something that someone believes, and they will double down. They will double fucking down. You could take somebody who believes the Earth is flat. You could put them in a fucking spaceship, launch them into space. They could be floating around looking out the window at the round fucking Earth, and they would still say, oh, it's a gimmick. It's not real. They won't even believe their own eyes. Because they've made up their mind that that's not the truth. So no matter what you say. So when people go on, you know, this really kind of came about, it was earlier with like the Confederacy, the crap, the statues and stuff that we had for the Confederacy that were around, particularly in the South, commemorating wars and battles and Confederate generals. And then people are like, oh, we need to tear this stuff down. We need to tear this stuff down. Because why? I ask you this, because why? Because somebody's going to walk down the street and see a Confederate general statue and decide that they're going to resurrect the lost cause? No. Does it make some folks feel uncomfortable? I imagine it does. I think all history should make somebody feel uncomfortable. That's history. That's real life, man. Some things are going to make you feel uncomfortable. Some things are going to make you feel like, wow, my ancestors were kind of assholes. I don't know that we should glorify people who are assholes, but I don't know. I think it's a more complex issue than that. When it comes to the Civil War, I think we had, you had people, and I don't think it's just a Civil War. I think it's any war. The soldiers that fight wars very rarely are fighting the wars for the same reason the politicians that sent them to war want them to. You see what I mean? Like in the Confederacy, the soldiers down there, the majority of those guys, they weren't fighting to uphold slavery. They could give a shit less one way or the other about slavery. They were fighting because somebody was invading their country. That's the way they looked at it. These Yankee people are coming here to invade our country, and we're not going to. It's no different than if people were coming here to invade the United States. You'd grab a rifle and go fight, right? Hell yeah. Is it because you were fighting to protect wealthy landowners or whatever they wanted to cook up? No. You're fighting because people are invading your country, invading your land, burning down your house. That's why the majority, I think Robert E. Lee even said, was it Rob? No, it was Ulysses S. Grant. You might remember, ended up being a president. He said, you know what? If I thought this war was about slavery, I would resign my commission and surrender my sword. Ulysses S. Grant wasn't fighting to abolish slavery. He could give a shit less about it. He was fighting because, well, he was trying to preserve the Union at all costs. Abraham Lincoln himself said, hey, if I could free everybody and save the Union, I'd do it. If I could enslave all the blacks to save the Union, I'd do it. Whatever I got to do to preserve the, you know, the whole idea here was freeing the blacks in the South, because the Emancipation Proclamation didn't free any blacks in the North, just the ones in the South. That was supposed to cause chaos. That was just a stunt to cause chaos. He was hoping all these slaves were going to run off and, oh, we're going to go north and, you know. There's a reason the Underground Railroad went all the way to Canada and didn't stop in Ohio. It's a very deep issue there. So just tearing down statues, I don't think does anything. It doesn't erase history. History still happened. The reason that people still do things and did things is because people want to believe whatever they want to believe. So there's no amount of disinformation that's going to sway somebody if they've already made their mind up. If you're a religious person and you believe, let's say, in Jesus, let's say you believe in Jesus and God, there's nothing I'm going to be able to tell you that's going to make you believe that you're wrong. So that's why I don't like the cancel culture thing. That's why I don't like people censoring things, language and books. Because, look, the Germans did that just before World War II, Nazi Germany. They're burning books to keep people from reading these things because they don't want to be influencing the people. It's silly. It's silly. So, but in the light of the whole cancel culture thing, how the hell is Bill Cosby ever going to play anywhere? Even if he does say he's going to go on tour, who's going to book him? And you know everywhere he goes, you're going to have a gaggle of people out there picketing and protesting and saying, you know, boo, he's a rapist. And probably rightfully so. If the man did what he was accused of doing, he's a real first-class piece of shit. So that's kind of how I feel about that. And I never really cared. Here's the thing. I never really cared for Bill Cosby anyway. I'm probably 10 years too young. Like, the comedians I loved growing up were Sam Kinison. You had Richard Pryor. Eddie Murphy. These were the comedians that I was like, yeah, you know, Cheech and Chong. These were the kinds of comedians I loved listening to. Stephen Wright. Andrew Dice Clay was a little one-dimensional. I never really got into that. George Carlin. I suppose George Carlin would be a contemporary of Bill Cosby. But he kind of kept it fresh. Bill Cosby got into, you know, like America's Dad and The Cosby Show and shit like that. And I just, like Jerry Lewis, another comedian that I always, because like, yeah, I don't get it. Like Sam Kinison. So there's that. I didn't grow up as a big Bill Cosby. I did like, drew a complete blank. Hey, Fat Albert. Yeah. And what was the name of that show? It wasn't the Cosby Kids. It was Fat Albert. I loved Fat Albert when I was a kid. Hey. I don't know how much of that Bill Cosby wrote, though. Another thing I liked when I was a kid, picture pages. Bill Cosby did this thing that you had this little pen that made this noise. And I don't know, it was some kind of electronic pen. And they had a song. Picture pages, fill the day with picture pages. Bill Cosby, and he had this pen character thing, and he would... I don't know. I don't even know. And you could order the pen. I never had the picture pages pen. I wonder if I could find somebody selling one on eBay. God, I wanted one of those really bad when I was a kid. And I don't even remember what the hell he was doing with it. Probably had it up his ass for all I know. But I remember it made it like a little sound. And Bill Cosby would draw around and on, I don't know, do something with his pen. I really remember the song. Picture pages, fill the day with picture pages till Bill Cosby does another picture page with you. Something along those lines. I'm Googling it right now. Picture pages, Bill Cosby. So this is what I knew of Bill Cosby. And based on that, I wouldn't rush out to see Bill Cosby. Picture pages. Bill Cosby. Yeah, so here he is with this pen. I don't know what the hell he's doing. I don't know. I loved watching this when I was a kid, though, and I remember the song. Picture pages, for those of us too young or old or foreign, without television access during the relevant decades, was a segment that first reached a national audience with Captain Kangaroo in the 70s. So that's where it was. It was on Captain Kangaroo. Picture pages. Lots of fun with crayons and your pencils. From 1978 to 1980. So between the between the ages of 5 and 7 when that was on. An American educational television program aimed at preschool children, presented by Bill Cosby, teaching lessons on basic arithmetic, geometry, and drawing through a series of interactive lessons that used a workbook that viewers could follow along with the lesson. So maybe it was the workbook you got, but I remember there was something about the pen. Had like a bee-looking guy on it. Anyway. But I would have been like 5. If he was coming to town to do a comedy show, I don't know that I'd be first in line. Somebody, yeah, now saying, Picture Pages was in Captain Kangaroo. Cosby was very funny back in the day. Then came the Roofie Colada days. Do you like Roofie Coladas? Doo-doo. Oh, this must be, is this Fatty? Just a tip tomorrow, Mushroom Head. QWERTY. A few fucks, but not bad. I don't mind the occasional fuck. I just don't like it when the song comes out swinging and smacking you in the face with it. Fuck! Trying to avoid that. Although, my give a damn is kind of busted about that, too. I just don't know that it needs to be gratuitous. That's all. Originally, when we started K-Back, we were trying to watch the adult language. Because in radio, you watch the... We did a lot of things when we first started K-Back that you do in regular radio. Like, you don't have a lot of F-words in songs. And, due in large part because of FCC. We don't want to get to spark the ire of the FCC. Although the FCC doesn't really have a list of words you're not allowed to say. There are no quote-unquote banned words. The Federal Communications Commission only limits your programming to essentially not offend the... You're not supposed to be offensive or overtly vulgar. Whatever your community dictates is vulgar is what's vulgar. So by that definition, if you were in a, I don't know, Las Vegas, and you were doing radio in Las Vegas, you could get away with a lot more than you would be able to in, say, Branson, Missouri. Because that's like the buckle of the Bible Belt. The buckle! I've never been to Branson, Missouri, but somebody told me the whole town is you can't get booze there. Like, it's completely dry. So, I don't know. We played a Mushroom Head song today. How did that turn out? I don't think it turned out well for the Mushroom Head song. Yeah. It was just screamy. Screamy. Sweaty. Harriet here. Don't you see Dallas on your IP address list? Well, whatever. Don't play that pussy song New Year's Day by U2, okay? Instead, at the end of the show, play Death Alley Driver by Rainbow. Because we're still on some hot rails to hell in 23. Death Alley. U2 is one of those bands I never really got either. Just don't get it. Never did. The whole U2 thing, no interest whatsoever. Frank, buddy, think about all the great songs from great artists that words came to them and get scribbled on a napkin or whatever and became huge successes. So it'd be a good idea to keep a pen and paper around so when inspiration strikes, like lightning, you got something to jot it down. I used to do that with songs. I would get a song stuck in my head, and then I, like, just making up a song, making up words. And I'd say, ooh, that's pretty good. And I would grab my phone and hit the voice recorder thing and record a little bit of it. And I got a bunch of them. Every now and then I'll go back through and listen to them. It's kind of like when we were kids and you'd get high. You'd smoke some of the old jazz cabbage. You're sitting around with your guitars. Maybe you're in your buddy's garage. You got the door open. You're just in there. Somebody's got a drum set. Some janky-ass PA that somebody's dad had. PVPA. You set that up and you're just garage banding it. But you're wicked baked. And you're thinking, man, that song's incredible we just made up. So you record it. And then you listen to it the next day when you're not baked. And you realize how terrible it was. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I was going to go look and see how many of these I have. There's an app on here. I've not done it in a while. It's called Voice Recorder. Voice Memos. So I have... some of them are... This one says cardboard sign. Fuck is that? Yeah. Sometimes I had names for them. Sometimes they're supposed to be filthy and just stupid and like a Weird Al style thing. I've got over 40 of them on here. And they're just little clips. Like some of them are, you know, 3 or 4 minutes long. Other ones, usually they're between 30 seconds and a minute and a half. Just little drippings of song ideas. So one of these days I should go through them. And come up with a new album. Crazy Frank's album. But no, I tell myself all the time I should jot things down. And I don't ever. I don't ever. Like, for instance, I got Bill Cosby and cancel culture written down. And we got a half hour in. We only got 30 minutes left to go. We'll be doing a Crazy Frank meet and greet thing. Just whoever wants to hang out with us at Five Guys Burgers and Fries this Saturday, New Year's Eve, from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. And this is why we do it like that. Essentially, not everybody can be there right at 3. People like Walmart Tim is like, well, I could get there about 4:30. So whatever. I figured I'd show up at 3, would hang out for a little bit, then whoever manages to make it by 3:15, 3:20 or whatever, we'll all go get in line, order our food. It's going to take a bit to get it. Then we sit down, you eat. You don't have to eat fast. Just kind of loiter. Take your time. I mean, you're not really loitering if you buy something. But then that way, people who want to come hang out and shoot the shit with KBAC people, you can. You have that opportunity. That's this Saturday at the Five Guys on Louise from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. And that gives you enough time for people who want to dart in, say, hey, Happy New Year, et cetera, et cetera, and then go off to whatever you have planned for New Year's Eve. I've got nothing planned. And that's by design. I don't want anything planned. I prefer to just be home on amateur night because people go out and get fucking stupid on holidays. New Year's, St. Paddy's Day, Cinco de Mayo. They just get stupid. They say nothing good ever happens after 10 p.m. That's, yeah, Let's go out, stay out late, get hammered, yeah.
That's what you're into. God bless you. It's not my scene.
Yay, ringing in the new year. What does that even mean? The new year's going to be there when I wake up tomorrow. It's kind of like when somebody has a baby. Hey, did you hear that Janet had a baby? No way. I pulled out of her way early. No, not your. She had somebody else's baby. But Janet had a baby. We're all going to the hospital. Why? Well, you know, I don't know, because she had a baby. Leave the woman alone. I never understood that. Somebody has a baby and people rush to the hospital. Ooh, we got to go see her baby. Leave the lady alone. She just passed a bowling ball from between her legs. And now you're going to go bother them? Her hair's all fucked up. Snatch is bleeding. Got something sucking on her tit. The baby, not like an orderly or something. People always rush down. First of all, I don't really care about other people's babies. I just don't. God bless you. It's wonderful you had a baby, but I don't care. Let's start with that. Whatever, you know. I'd be more interested if you got a new puppy. But you know what? I'm not showing up at the kennel to meet the new puppy. I'm sure maybe I'll be shopping at Walmart, like Walmart Tim. He got a new dog. Bella is the dog's name. I happened to be in Walmart one day. Walmart Tim was in Walmart, not working. He was just shopping. But he had his dog Bella with him. I had the Gooch with me. So he met the Gooch. I met Bella. It seemed like an even swap. We shot the shit a little bit and we went on our way. I didn't rush over to his house. Oh my God, you got a new dog. I got to go meet your new dog. Whatever. And I like dogs. So I never understood that people are like, oh my God, I got to see that. So the new year, I could care less. I don't have to count. The only time I really remotely cared about a new year is when everybody was freaked out about the world coming to an end in the year 2000. That was a time I really made it a point to stay up and watch the ball drop just to see if the whole world came uncorked at the stroke of midnight, because people were freaking out. Oh my God, the missiles are all going to launch and Coke won't taste the same. It's going to be complete pandemonium. Well, now I want to stay up and see if that happens. And then when it didn't, by about 12:30, I was in. You guys might have slightly oversold that one. But other than that, I just don't care. This person says, don't really care if you've had a kid after it get to be more than... I got to read the whole thing. I was reading just a preview, and I wasn't seeing enough of it to really understand what they were trying to say. We'll wait for it to load. Don't really care if you've had a kid after it get to be more than three. I don't know what that means. Are they saying you only like little kids? That sounds worse than it is. I like kids pretty much when you can interact with them and screw with their head and, you know, that sort of thing. Like itty-bitty babies, what are you going to do? They just, meh, and they puke and they shit and they just kind of, I can't hold my own head up, meh. Yeah, they're cute and all, if they're yours. Ever notice that? Other people's little babies? People be going, oh my God, how adorable is that little baby? But then I look at other people's little babies and I think, yee. Happened to this kid. I think that's evolutionary, though. That's an inborn male thing. You're just not into babies that aren't yours. Now, when they get to be, you know, like Ava's age, two years or old, you know, I don't know, even like a year and a half. They're roaming around and they're dancing and then they're entertaining. It's like having a monkey. Right? It's like having your own pet monkey. They just run around and do stuff and you get to, they, you know, everything's fucking awesome to them. Like even the most, like Ava is 3.5 years old and Lou's fireworks, they send me because we had fireworks displays. We used them for fireworks for a few years at Porkpalooza. We're on their Christmas list. So every year I get a little care package from Lou's Fireworks for their, you know, Merry Christmas. Here's our little gift to you. One year it was like a first aid kit. And another year it was, I don't know, like a mouse pad. And so it's not expensive stuff. It's just, you know, whatever kind of shit you can get your business name printed on. So this year they sent us a card and a tire gauge, an air tire gauge. One of those, not a digital one, but one of those stick ones. You know, you put it on the tire and it, the little stick shoots out. And then you read the little notches to tell you how many pounds per square inch you have in the tire. A tire gauge. Manual old school tire gauge that says Lou's Fireworks on it. So my daughter Ava, she's like, ooh, what do you got there? And I said, it's a tire gauge. Here, you can have it. I tell her Lou's Fireworks sent it to her. But I don't tell her what it is. I just hand it to her. And she's looking at this thing like it's the most amazing thing she's ever seen in her life. And then she sees that she can just pull out the little stick with the numbers on it. And now she's decided that this is a magic wand. And she's running all over the house. It's a magic wand. And then she discovers if she kind of flicks her wrist, she can make the stick slide out. Ping! Aha! Abracadabra! Now she's running around saying, abracadabra! Abracadabra! Or as best as she can say the word abracadabra. Kids that age, fantastic. When they're itty-bitty babies and just... I gotta rush down there. That kid's not gonna remember that you rushed down there. That kid doesn't even know what planet it's on. Gotta write this down. Kids. I like my own kids when they were little, but, and by little I mean, you know, like infants, newborns, that sort of thing. But other than that, you know, when they get to be, and then I think kids are good until they get to be about 12. They start hitting puberty, and much like monkeys, then kids start hitting puberty, and then they start getting, you know, attitudes and bitchy, and you're stupid, and you don't know anything, and you're rebellious, and they're fucking up your stuff, throwing shit at you, jerking off like crazy. You know, but there's that sweet spot in between, you know, like 2 years old and 13, where they're pretty cool. They want to hang out with you. They want to do stuff. Oh, hey, let's go for a ride. Let's go get ice cream. Let's, you know, hop in the Jeep and do stupid shit in the snow. You know, fun stuff. Where I'm basically mired emotionally. I'm emotionally stunted somewhere in that 5 to 14 age group. So maybe that's why I, like, whenever I would, over the years, I would get involved with women that had kids. And when the relationship would come apart, I always missed the kids way more than I missed the women I was in a relationship with. Because they were cool. You know, you could just do cool shit with, you know, oh, hey, let's go to the Coke. Like, you're not going to ask a 30-year-old lady to go to a go-kart track. I don't want to go on a go-kart track. Hey, let's go buy some model rockets and launch shit into the air. What 30-year-old woman wants to do that? No, they want a glass of wine and play Scrabble. Fuck that. I want to get rocket motors and launch shit into the air. Hey, kid. Go into your toy box and get some toys that you don't really care about anymore. Let's see if we can launch them. I say that specifically because I was living with a woman, and her kid was seven or eight, and we swung into, and it was completely by accident, we swung into a like a Goodwill or a Salvation Army thrift shop, and we're looking around for shit, and they have, and clearly somebody didn't know what they were putting out, but it was a whole big box full of model rocket engines. I mean, a whole big box. It was probably 2 feet long and 2 feet wide and a foot and a half deep, packed full of model rocket engines. And then a whole shitload of igniters. And it was, I don't know, they had $3, not per pack of engines, but for the whole box. And then they had those big engines, you know, the bigger than a D cell. And then they, a bunch of the skinnier ones and all kinds of different engines. No model rockets, just a ton of model rocket motors. And I was like, dude. He's like, what are these? Because he didn't know what the fuck a model rocket was. Like, oh, little dude, we are going to have some good times. So, you know, you immediately get home and you find a coat hanger and you bend it up straight and make your own launch pad. This kid thought I was insane. I'm like, here, hand me one of them. It wasn't a G.I. Joe, whatever the kids are playing with nowadays that are just like G.I. Joe size. And I duct tape a motor to watch this. And I double check. You sure you don't care if you never see this thing again? Because you're very likely never going to see this again. He's like, yeah, no, man, let's see what you got. And I hit the battery and that thing just... In the wonderment on this kid's face. Like I had just made the Statue of Liberty disappear. You know, it was that level of, like, that kid's brain couldn't even, like, holy shit. That's incredible. Let's do it again. You know, that, you know. Somebody says making your own rocket engines is way cool. I never tried to do making my own. Well, not little ones anyway. I did make a big one time. I got the instructions out of a Boy's Life magazine. And it was this whole paste you had to mix together. And you built a solid rocket motor in essentially an old Folgers can. And then I stuck that in the bottom of a tower tube. When my dad, who was a broadcast engineer, he would get chunks of TV antenna, and they would ship them in these big cardboard tubes. So I got this giant cardboard tube and made it up to look like a rocket. And my dad saw that I was doing this, but I don't think he put together that I had actually gotten the plans and the recipe to build my own solid rocket motor to put in this thing. And the first one, I did not do something right because it pretty much exploded like a fucking M80. Just boom! The second one totally did it right. Left a dead patch of grass on our front yard that was, I don't know, 14 feet in diameter. Just completely black, dead grass. And I don't know where the thing went, but I never saw it again. But these people showed up at our house later that afternoon asking what the fuck we were doing and told us that we were not allowed to do that anymore. So where it went, and that was my last experiment with Boy's Life magazine. They had all kinds of cool shit in the back of Boy's Life magazine. Another thing that I always wanted to get and I never did, build your own hovercraft. There was always an ad in the back that said, build your own hovercraft out of a vacuum cleaner motor. And I thought, damn, that'd be cool. And, you know, send, I don't know, whatever it was for plans. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope for the plans. And then I never actually did that. Mostly because I wasn't convinced it would be real. Or it would be super janky. And then I just kind of like, eh, whatever. But I did go through a period where I would fantasize about building my own hovercraft and taking it to school and going up and down the hallways with it. Because in my head, that would be cool. But I think I was the only one I thought that would think that was cool. Especially in like junior high. I think that's, I don't know. I was a different kind of a kid. I never made the little ones though, because you could just go to the, you know, Kmart and buy a pack of the little ones. It seemed like it was just as easy to go buy them. Hey, I feel that way about hunting. I've never been like, ooh, let's go hunting. Mostly because, I could just go to the store and get food. If I was in a situation where I needed to hunt to eat, absolutely I could shoot a deer. No question in my mind. Skin it, gut it, dress it out, not a problem. I don't have to, though, because we have Walmart. And I don't really care for the taste of deer by itself. Deer is, you know, people cook it in chili. That's good. You'll get like deer sausage and that sort of thing. But it's very rarely straight deer. It's usually cut with something else. I don't know that I really care for the taste of the deer by itself. Like, if you just cooked up a deer leg. Like, if you cooked up a cow leg, hell yeah. Pork leg? Now you're talking. Chicken leg? I'm in. Deer leg? Not so much. I don't fish, but that's because I don't really care for fish. If I really love the taste of fish, you'd catch me fishing all the time. You see people around here, they get out on a frozen lake and drill a hole in the ice and sit out there freezing their balls off, pulling fish out of the hole. Uh-uh. Not me. First of all, I don't really care for the cold. Second of all, I don't really care for fish. I discovered years ago that when I do enjoy fish, what I like about it, I think, is the breading. Getting like beer-battered catfish. Mmm. Give me lots of tartar sauce and nice, good, flaky breading. That, you know, whatever they roll that flour and whatever else. Fry it up. God, I love that. Dredge it through some tartar sauce. Fantastic. But the species of fish in the inside, I don't think it's nearly as important as the breading. Because I don't know that I really care for fish. When we were younger, anyway, my early 20s, these bars in Florida would have like alligator fries and shark fries. So they'd get an alligator or a shark and they'd chop it up in little chunks and bread it and fry it up. And $20, it was all the beer you could drink and all the sides you could eat, and then the main course was the gator or shark. I couldn't tell you which we were eating. Which one's this? Oh, that one's the gator. You're eating it? Okay, which tastes the same as the other thing. Mostly because it's the breading I'm tasting and all the tartar sauce. Anyway, speaking of eating, I'm going to go make myself some food. And this is one of those nights where the Crazy Frank Live is kind of running aground. I always hope that we'll have some breakthrough episode that will be thought-provoking and, you know, beneficial to society. It's yet to happen. It's just some douchebag in his basement rattling on about whatever pops into his head. Bill Cosby's picture pages. Anywho, if you want to hang out with us, we're going to be at Five Guys Burgers and Fries this Saturday, New Year's Eve, from 3 p.m. until 6. If you've not ever had a Five Guys Burger and Fry, I invite you to try it. I like the Louise location because that's the one that's got the milkshakes, and the milkshakes kick ass. I really like their Cajun fries. So what you're saying is you like your fish and sticks. I don't even really care for fish sticks, man. I just don't. I don't have any in the freezer. You know, you're a kid, that's something your mom always seems to have around. Oh, we're having fish sticks. Like, I don't think, and you know the reason why I don't like fish sticks? Because I don't think the breading is that good. And it's baked. Oftentimes you make fish sticks, your mom's throwing them in the oven. And I don't think they're as good baked as they are deep fried.
There was a, it's some English, I can't think of the name of it. It's got a, says it's the number one fish and chips in England or some shit, I don't know. But I was trying to find, because every now and then I will get the hankering for some good beer battered kind of fish. But it's the breading that the breading and the tartar sauce that I'm after, I think. But anyway, I found a box of it in the frozen section at Walmart, and now it seems to have evaporated. I want to say it was a woman's name. I'm going to Google it. Number one fish in England. No, not the actual fish. Number one fried fish, maybe. Fried fish. It was a name brand. God, I can't remember the name of it now. I knew the section. This is how frequently I was buying it. Frozen fish. I remember the section where I was buying it in the Walmart on Louise. Ah, here we go. Found it. Young's. So it wasn't a woman. Why was I thinking it was a woman? Grimsby, England. Seafood experts for over 200 years. Proudly made in Britain. Traditional British crispy battered cod fillet fish and chips. Now, this is a meal for one. I wasn't getting it in a meal. I was just getting the fish. Fish in a box. Breaded, frozen. I would throw it in the Fry Daddy, come out, and it would be fan-fucking-tastic. I really enjoyed that. Young's. That's the name of it. Why I thought it was a woman's name, I guess I have no idea. And they had it at Walmart, and I would get it periodically. But, you know, it's the kind of thing that when I was at Walmart, I'd get it. I'd throw a box or two of it in the freezer, and it'd be in there for months. And then one day you're like, shit, I just need to make something quick and easy that's tasty, and I got a hankering for fish. You'd fire up the thing about the Fry Daddy is it's got that, like, butter tub lid on it, right? So the oil is in there. You just filter out the chunks and plug it in and off you go. Fry up some fish and then afterwards, I don't know, throw some steak fries in there, fry them up. Just quick and easy. I've not done that in a very long time. Probably a couple of years now. Because Ava's almost four. So it's probably been 2 years since I've done that, but... I was actually in Walmart not long ago, and I thought, ooh, if they have any of that fish, I just remember it was a blue box in the section that I would normally find it in, and it wasn't there. And I thought, oh, well, fuck. Goddamn COVID. I haven't had fried stuff at home since COVID was a thing. So 2019-ish was the last time I did that. But if you're into such a thing, might I recommend finding some Young's. Crispy battered fish. I want to say the box that I was getting said it was the number one brand in England or Britain or some shit. Somebody wants to hear Summertime Girls from YNT. We'll drop that in. Summertime Girls. Okay. Ooh, NASA. NASA joining you, Frank. Got here late, but still here. So there's that. Cosby can blow me, and he probably would, too. I think Cosby would only blow you if you looked like Howard Stern. Because that woman that he raped looks like Howard Stern. I think that's what he's into. Can you play On Your Knees by Wasp? On your knees. Speaking of blow me. On your... Extra points if I have it. Yes, I do. Ha ha.
So we got Death Alley Driver for Harriet. I think that was Harriet wanted to hear that. Rainbow. We got Summertime Girls, Y&T. We got On Your Knees, Wasp. And that's just a tip of the iceberg. Anything else anybody wants to hear after I wrap this thing up, let me know what it is. I will drop it in the stack for you. Someone says here in South Dakota, we have tiger meat, which is basically raw seasoned hamburger. I've heard people talk about that. And I don't know that I find that gross, only because when I was a kid, for whatever reason, I got into snacking on raw hamburger in the refrigerator. My stepmother, she'd buy hamburger in these, you know, the styrofoam plate that's covered in like a saran wrap. I would unwrap, and this was the ridiculous part. You know, she's buying like 2 pounds or 4 pounds, whatever the increment it was. I would eat the raw hamburger, and then I would mash the whole loaf flat so you couldn't tell where I had picked some out. So it kept getting thinner and thinner. And there was something about the taste of raw hamburger that appealed to me. And then my stepmother caught me doing it. And she's like, you're going to get worms. You're going to get sick. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been eating this shit for the last couple of years. It's tasty. It wasn't seasoned. It wasn't nothing. It was just raw hamburger. Just fresh raw hamburger. Glory Hole, Steel Panther. Anyway, 8 o'clock. Time for me to get out of here. You'll probably hear Glory Hole. You know, Steel Panther is just a really good band. The songs are ridiculous, but the band is, you can't deny. It's really, you know, Psycho Stick is another one of those. Fantastic band. They just don't really seem to have any singles. Well, not any singles that anybody requests on the regular. We get way more requests for Steel Panther than we do Psycho Stick. And from a wider swath of the audience. You know, Psycho Stick, I think, is just like two or three people that ask for that. Steel Panther, it's at least a couple of dozen. Anyway, have a great, safe night. If you're in Sioux Falls and you're driving around, be careful because I went out to shovel snow a bit ago and it sucked. So I can't imagine the roads are very fantastic. And then we've got ice happening after that. And yeah, it all, if you could stay home, do that. I'll be back bright and early tomorrow at 9, and we'll do the Friday edition of the program. Until then, kids, peace.